the Lord help us to commence with hymn 1033. In Jesus combine all the riches of grace. What glory and grandeur I see in his face. Jehovah's eternal and co-equal Son took all our transgressions and made them his own. Hymn 1033.
Let us read from the Word of God in the book of Revelation, in chapter 5 and also chapter 7. Beginning to read in Revelation chapter 5, reading from the 8th verse. Revelation 5, commencing to read at verse 8. And when he, that is, I believe, the Son of God, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odours, which are the prayers of saints. And they sang a new song saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honour and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb for ever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth for ever and ever. Chapter 7, friends, Revelation 7. And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, and the wind, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till I have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Naphtali were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindred and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen, blessing, and glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honour, and power, and might be unto our God, for ever and ever. Amen. One of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. And they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. May the Lord bless his holy word to us, and may he help us in prayer. O Lord God Almighty, oh, we do thank thee, Lord, for thy merciful kindness. Lord, as we hope we are in the favour of thy word, which is stated by the psalmist and also earlier in the word of God, as Lord, thou didst give it to David and to be sung and acknowledged. Lord, at that time when they had brought up the ark, Lord, thy mercy, the Lord's mercy, endureth forever. We humbly hope we're in the secret of it, Lord. It is of thy mercy that we're not consumed. And, Lord, it is of thy mercy, Lord, that thou hast not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarding us according to our iniquities. And Lord, we are surrounded, we continually prove thy mercy, and especially those wonderful favours of thy mercies in Jesus, which exempt us from hell. Oh, how one put it is, glories I see, his wonders I tell. Lord, we pray thus that as we are favoured, we may count it a great favour and privilege and desire to worship thee for it, Lord, that we can gather as we do, none daring lawfully to make us afraid, to meet around thy word. And Lord, as we have come together here with the dear friends at Swavesey, we pray, Lord, we may know thy favour this day, even in the favour of knowing thy presence with us. Come, Lord, gather with us, Lord, be in our midst. Come, Lord, and favour us, grant the divine aid and influence of the Holy Spirit. Lead us into thy truth and teach us, Lord. Favour us to blessedly feel that favour that John knew, as we've been reading those things of that record, the wonderful revelation of St. John the Divine, how he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. We pray for this above everything else, Lord. Oh, that we may have a feeling sense of thy presence, Lord, and that we may be in the Spirit. We do believe, Lord, we trust, we know through thy teaching and through experience, Lord, that if we are to know thy presence, we must be favoured to be in the Spirit. But Lord, we cannot know it in any other way. God is a Spirit, and they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so, Lord, we pray for this above everything else. And Lord, that thou wilt favour us as we gather here. May there be a portion for 6 and for 7 and for 8 in thy house today. Lord, we come with an exercise for the good of souls. Lord, our first exercise and first purpose is we hope that we meet for thy praise. Lord, has been prayed before the service for thy honour and thy praise, Lord. And thou knowest how even those words, only a few words, Lord, are really upon our mind for the subject today. But they are those very words. Oh, praise, honour and glory, blessed. Lord, this is what we seek to know and prove today, and we might render praise. Lord, we might have that given us that we may render praise. We may give thee all the glory. We may praise our God from whom our blessings flow. Lord, for what we have already been led to acknowledge, Lord, we're not there was not dealt with us after our sins, there was not cut us off. But oh, high above all this, Lord, we trust there are a goodly number of us whom thou hast given us a hope in thy mercy and some blessed seal of thy favour and faith in exercise and the favour to look forward to the blessed prospect that we've been reading of those home in glory around the throne. And Lord, it is our hope that thou hast given us, Lord, that we too, amid that sacred throng, will be found at last. Oh Lord, we pray for souls. We pray thy blessing may be known here today. And we pray as thy blessing is known and prove, Lord, and felt, we may bless thee, our God. We may be in this, Lord, may this be that which shall be manifest in time to thy glory, that souls have been blessed, that thou hast blessed souls, Lord, granting them to know and feel thy favour, granting poor famishing ones to feed upon thy word, Lord. Those that feel their weakness, those that feel the acuteness of hunger and thirst, especially as thou dost teach and lead on and give thy people hunger and thirst after righteousness. O Lord, that they may be fed, may be filled, may be favoured, and that in due time thy high praises may be sung by such who have received thy favour. Lord, we do pray for this. Oh, thou knowest each one here and each individual soul who has known thy favour. And Lord, we feel it upon us again as coming among the friends here at Swavesey. We believe there are those who have proved thy favour. And Lord, we do pray they may know it more and prove it more, and that so it may be brought in time that they shall have to, under thy constraining love, tell of thy love, tell of what thou hast done for their souls. Lord, thou knowest we carry an exercise watching for this. O Lord, we pray, let thy work appear unto thy servants and thy glory unto their children. And Lord, we pray also, if any are gathered, thou knowest, for thou seest the heart of each one of us, If any are gathered here unconcerned, dead in sin, Lord, may thy solemn word, as each poor servant, as we feel to be very poor, each servant of thine, Lord, is able to preach thy word faithfully, Lord, may it be as to sound an alarm to such. For if they are unconcerned, if they are sitting, as it were, in unconcern and not caring and carelessness, Lord, may it be thy purpose to sound an alarm. May the ministry have that alarm in it. And may thou use it, Lord, to cause such to tremble before thee, the living God, and to know that solemnity of concern wrought in them. And Lord, to question, where am I, what am I, and how do I stand before God, for eternity is before us. Convince of sin, Lord. It's thy work to convince of sin, and then to lead to Jesus' blood. We pray we may witness this in our families and in the churches, Lord. And now it's our burden for some of our loved ones, Lord. Oh, that great anxiety we feel, Lord, day by day. We pray, Lord, do in mercy appear. We could please thee, Lord, to cause that stout rebels must resign at thy commanding word. Oh, Lord, do so work. Thou hast said, Lord, I will work and who shall let it? And our burden of exercise is, Lord, oh, dost thou have a purpose of love and mercy to this one and that one who we are concerned about. We bring them unto thee, Lord. We cast them upon thee. Lord, we pray then for each soul present that would suit a blessing to each case here. And we pray, Lord, for friends not here with us today, some seeking rest and change. And Lord, we pray they may be favoured with this for the benefit of body, mind and soul. And where any dear friends gather in other causes, Lord, may they find thy presence there. Oh, may they know thy favour in thy merciful kindness to them. May they have a case, and may their cases be met. Dear Lord, do bless souls, and thus get to thyself honour and glory. I pray, Lord, for our own people back home and the reading service this morning, and one coming this afternoon, our friends hope to have thy servant to preach to them there. And Lord, we pray for all thy servants, each one. Oh, we pray thou would use them and bless them and make them a blessing. Lord, in the little hills of Zion, of our own beloved denomination, so many we know and love, thou hast, it's what thou hast done, Lord, in giving us love and affection to those we love in thy name. Our mind goes up and down across the land, Lord. Oh, Lord, the people whom we were with yesterday, may they know thy favour today. May there be nothing of any hindrance to them from yesterday, but may it all be as a preparation for thy day. And bless thy dear aged servant, make him a blessing still. It is wonderfully sweet and a wonderful thing to know, Lord, that thou art using thy servants, even those in old age. And as we felt so strongly yesterday to thy dear servant, Lord, how thou hast so blessed him and caused him to bring forth fruit in old age. May yet more of this favour be known among the friends there at Handcross. Lord, we pray, still help him. Help him to go on right to the end of his pilgrimage, Lord. Oh, Lord, we do admire the grace in the dear man, that which thou hast done, that which thou hast made him. And Lord, we pray for all thy servants, especially the Like as we were considering last Lord's Day, we might none of us ever be thinking much of ourselves. Lord, how the apostle spoke, even in that way, addressing the church of Corinth, how he, as that, in that way, he knew he had been used of thee, even for the planting of the church. And Lord, how in that questioning, considering Paul and Apollos, but God giveth the increase. Paul may plant, Apollos may water, but God giveth the increase. And Lord, we believe the teaching in that part of thy word is that none of us should worship man, none of thy servants should even look to be worshipped. Oh Lord, we pray for the grace to be self-renouncing, grace admiring, made thus unto salvation wise. How the apostle in that way spoke so humbly. He had been the means of the planting of the church, but oh Lord, he acknowledged, by the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But oh, how he acknowledged humbly, Paul may plant, Apollos may water, but God giveth the increase. And Lord, we pray thus, we each that are thy servants might be kept from thinking anything of ourselves, but to be truly self-renouncing. Lord, we know, we solemnly know, so much treachery comes when a man begins to think much of himself. Lord, keep us low. Make us vile, our vileness to know. Keep us very, very low. Lord, we do pray, knowing our need of it. So watch over and keep us in this respect, we beg. Lord, we pray for all thy people. Lord, those many we know and love in our own beloved denomination, we have our mind and heart going to them day by day, thou knowest, and praying for them each and all. And Lord, oh, we pray that this day, thy day, it may be a blessed day in the church of the living God, the one church in the wilderness on earth. Lord, all those that we do not know, thou dost perfectly know. So we would pray in love for all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity and in truth. Lord, bless thy people. Oh, may thy people know in thy church this day thy holy presence, the comfort of thy love, the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich, and thy word, O the blessed statement of it, he addeth no sorrow. There is so much sorrow thy people have to know and suffer here below. But oh, bring us to the point, is there any sorrow like unto his sorrow, thy sorrow, Lord? Lead us into that. That will break our hearts. That will humble us in the dust. So we pray for all thy people, such favour may be known. Lord, do bless thy people. Feed them also. Lift them up forever. We pray for our country, Lord, who knoweth the sad, awful state we're in. We feel it more and more day by day. Lord, the awfulness, the intent, and the craftiness of those that are wicked and want more and more to further their wicked purposes, Lord. And those in high places, Lord, how we are so grieved, Lord, that such things are made known, published, Lord, of what goes on. And Lord, though we know we need to know, yet it saddens us every time we have some knowledge of new things which are more and more toward abomination. And Lord, how we witnessing, Lord, and thy solemn words thou didst speak, when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Lord, this is what is appearing more and more in our homeland, England. Oh, it makes us tremble, Lord. We tremble to plead with thee because we know thy judgments are upon us. And yet, Lord, we must put in our plea, Lord, still have mercy. In wrath, remember mercy. Oh, Lord, we beg thee, still look in mercy on England, our beloved homeland. Cause that men in high places shall hear thy voice, Lord. We feel so much thy voice is not heard. And Lord, thou hast withdrawn the ability even from man in high places to hear the voice of the Son of God. Lord, how solemn this is. Lord, we have nothing of ability in nature, but Lord, if thy grace is in us, Lord, oh, we know then we shall have that favour. But Lord, it seems there are so few have the grace of God. Lord, oh, we are not the judge, but thou dost know. And Lord, where there are those who we do hope, one or two who do fear thy name, oh, we pray thou would specially help them. But if it could please thee to work in those in high places, to cause them to tremble before thee, to tremble at thy word. And if it could be thy purpose, Lord, to deal with them in mercy, then thou would make them very different. This is what we pray for their souls. Their souls are upon our spirit to consider. They've each got immortal souls. Lord, we pray for souls. Thou would quicken souls and make them cry, Jesus, save me or I die. Even if it could please thee in those in high places, thou would so work, Lord. And what a witness it would be, Lord, if it were thy will, Lord, if it is thy will. So hear us for these things. Oh, Lord, we cannot multiply words. We beg for grace and help in time of need. Lord, we pray for all in affliction, Lord. Thou knowest those on our mind and our heart to pray for our afflicted, Lord. Oh, Lord, seem so humbling to have the presence of one of thy dear servants who has become so weak and elderly now, and with his dear one, our dear friend, thy servant Mr. Mercer and his dear wife, and her weakness, Lord, and their loving intention and willingness to come and be with us yesterday for the afternoon service. Oh, we do remember them. And many more, Lord, we think of up and down the land who are afflicted. May thy grace ever be proof sufficient. We believe it will with every one of thy people. So, Lord, we remember them. Oh, we beg all these things, Lord, with the pardon of our every sin, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 765. And does thy heart for Jesus pine, and make its secret moan? He understands a sigh divine, and marks a secret groan. Hymn 765.
Thank you.
as the Lord may help me, friends, I would direct you to the second of the portions we read in the Word of God. That is in Revelation chapter 7. And really, friends, upon my spirit are two words that have been with me from late last evening and through the night when we woke a few times, and this morning and coming along to you. The two words are these: blessing and honour. Blessing and honour. But you find them, as we have read in the two portions, in those portions, but directing you to the 12th verse. That is Revelation chapter 7, verse 12, saying, Amen, blessing, and glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honour, and power, and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Seeking much the help we need now, that the Lord will favour us to consider together those two words, because I believe, you see, I've not picked them out, friends. Not two words picked out. It's the Holy Spirit that's given me to ponder them and come along with them. Blessing and honour. Blessing and honour. Now, both of those words, in this context, they are blessed notes of praise of God to give us to be brought into this. The Lord must bless us. And his purpose is he will bless his people. He will greatly bless and favour them, so that in glory at last, forever and ever, they will bless and praise the Lord as we have it here, and give honour unto him forever and ever before the throne. But as I've said to you many times, a good few times over the years, I trust God has well taught one, and we preach it, we have to make it clear. God will work in his people here in time to cause them to begin to praise God here on earth. And we will never praise God in glory unless we have been brought by his grace, sovereign grace, to praise him here in time, as preparation for the singing of God's highest praises in glory forever and ever. Blessing and honour. You first find the theme of what the Lord did do in blessing. It is first found relating to Adam. And that was before the fall, where we read, and God blessed Adam. And then we find, also before the fall, God blessed the seventh day, sanctified and hallowed it. And then as we go on in the Word of God, we come to after the fall. And we read then, one that is very striking and wonderful, is that God blessed Noah and said unto him, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And you know, all through the Word of God there is those statements, wonderful witness of God blessing souls. Oh, how we read concerning Abraham, what the Lord said in blessing I will bless thee, multiplying I will multiply thee. And how right through the Word of God, we even find in Daniel, where Nebuchadnezzar is speaking, Nebuchadnezzar, he speaks of blessing. He said, I will bless the Lord, give honour to him That's Nebuchadnezzar. You see, the hearts of all men are in God's hand. But you know how we've read the two portions, friends. And in the first of the two portions we read there relating to God's people blessing him and praising him, but also it was more general than that. In that fifth chapter, it speaks of all those that are on the earth, every beast, every creature, shall bless and praise and give honour to God. Now that's not the same as we find it in the context of the seventh chapter. It is the same for some, and oh, the multitude which no man can number, remember, were on earth. But you see, there is a sense in which all mankind will bless and praise God. In the sense like this, even the wicked shall have to acknowledge God's righteous, perfect will and purpose, and justify God in their condemnation. That's such a deep, friend, such a solemn truth that is. But every one of humanity must acknowledge the righteousness of God. His holy, righteous, perfect will they must bow to, even in the punishment of their sins forever and ever in hell. The wicked must justify God. Oh, it must be so. And I believe that is what is touched upon in the fifth chapter of Revelation, where it is spoken there, given there to John, that God states that. That all creatures shall bless God. But oh, here in the seventh chapter, it's purely, solely those who are home in glory, washed in the blood of Christ, clothed in his righteousness, found faultless before the throne, singing the high praises of God, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honour and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And so, friends, here, regarding us now and the need of us to consider these two words, blessing and honour, how shall we begin and how will each one of us know it? You see, God will bless every one of his people with grace. In his time, he will deal with them, begin to work in them. We are all born into this world, come into this world, born naturally in that way given to our parents, and they bring us forth, and we are born. We're a person born into time, into this world. Each one of us have been so brought into life, into this world, by our first birth. But you know, the truth of God is this, that we are born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And in sin did our mothers conceive us. And that we come forth from the womb, come forth from the womb speaking lies, because we are subjects of the Adam fall. Death has passed, sin has entered, and death by sin. That's so clear in the Word of God. There are many people that try to get around that, all kinds of arguments of law, but the truth of God will stand. What God has said must stand and be fulfilled. And God's people are blessed, friends, to know the truth. God begins in them. He quickens them. They're born of the Spirit. They become spiritual characters. These are the characters God has set his love upon. before the foundation of the world, God's people are born of the Spirit. They are born again. This is how they're blessed. We must trace these things of how the individual characters of God's people, each one he set his love upon, is blessed. For the singing of God's praises and giving honour to God will ensue from what is experienced by each individual child of God. And so in this consideration, friends, the important point to consider is, am I quickened by God, made alive? Or am I, and the solemn question you will have, I'm either alive or I'm still in that state of darkness of nature. I've not got life. I'm either made alive by God or I'm still dead in sin. Has God blessed you with spiritual life? Is this given to you by God to be a concern, to want to know and have it proved and have the true witness of it within you? Oh, wonderful is the theme if you can truly, honestly testify it, that born I am and born of God. That's what the true living family of God can say. They are blessed to be able to say it, that born I am and born of God. This is what each one needs to be able to say, and they know their need, and they are blessed to be able to say it when they are favoured to receive this under the witnessing of the Spirit of God working in them. God has begun to work in me. I'm born again. That's so humbling, so amazing, so wonderful this, but oh, so vitally important this is. This is how God begins to bless. He quickens and he makes alive his people. They are born of the Spirit of God, born from above. Now, are you blessed like that? Are you blessed with life? Are you blessed to know you're alive unto God by his grace? Oh, how blessed you are. And yet you will be blessed in that way, but what will ensue in your experience will be very deep, solemn considerations then. Because though you have hope you were born again, part of the witness of this will be you're brought into solemn concern. Where do you stand before God? You are alive to your state and condition. And what is made, what is revealed to you, made clear to you, is you're a sinner. You're a sinner before God. This is how God blesses his people. He blesses them with life. But the solemn part of the blessing is, as the Lord goes on to bless, he shows them what they are. It reveals to them the truth, the reality of what they are. And is it so with souls here today? You are blessed, but you are given to know so solemnly that you are a guilty sinner. You are before holy God, seen by God. He sees you through and through. He knows your heart. And what is being revealed, God is blessing you, but you can't understand it, some of you. That he's blessing you, you can't understand it. Or you have a very limited understanding of this. What a blessing it is to be solemnly convicted and convinced of your sin. But it is a blessing. Oh, the Lord will reveal this to you as time goes on and you experience more of his blessing and favour, that though it is so solemn to be a solemn experience and feeling, to be so made to feel your guilt as a sinner before a holy God, and to deeply feel your sins as before, and as they are sins against a holy God, to feel this, yet it's part of being blessed. God must do all this. He must teach each one all they need to know. They need to receive of his truth to cause them to truly be blessed. Blessed to know so solemnly that however much you strive to stop sinning, to forsake sin, however much you try to be holy, you can't be. You say, how is this a blessing? God's making you feel it, making you confess it, making you know that this is your state you're in under the condemnation of God, the condemnation of the law of God. You are unholy. One of the hymn writer puts it in a solemn statement, and verse he says that I'm unholy needs no proof. I sorely feel the fall. But you know, that hymn writer went on, and I want to go on. You know, he says, but Christ has holiness enough to sanctify us all. Now God will bless his people. He will bless them in, he will go on blessing them, teaching them. Every part of the teaching is to be known as God's blessing, his favour, his sovereign dealings with his people, he working in them to will and to do of his good purpose and pleasure. The Lord must work in each one. And so I hope that there are those of you, your dear younger friends particularly, but I would be careful to say that some of the old ones may particularly also need to know it, and God knows what is needed. If he loves you, he will be working according to what he knows perfectly of what you need to be taught. This is how he will bless you and favour you, so that you will know your need of salvation. One of the words of the affirmation we have here in this verse is blessing and glory and wisdom. Oh, to be made wise unto salvation. This is what God has a sovereign purpose to do for every one of his people, to make them wise unto salvation. What is that? To know how much you need to be saved. To be made wise, to be knowing your need of this, and made wise to be seeking it, and be made wise to know God's way of salvation, that it is by what his own dear Son has done, no other way, none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. And so God blesses his people to be made wise unto salvation. And so one of the notes of praise and glory is to give honour to God for his grant of wisdom, for all these blessings so taught God's people here on earth, that this is how they are blessed. They are blessed, and they are to give blessing and honour and acknowledge, give glory to God and thanksgiving that he has favoured them with these favours here on earth. Give you wisdom. So one of the most precious things of God's favour is when God blesses his people with wisdom. And you know, I believe it is in a wonderfully blessed and sacred way it's known and experienced. For God working in love and mercy in a soul, He gives them to begin to love the Lord in the want of Him, to begin to love Him and to have filial fear. Oh, you know your sins grieve Him, and filial fear will keep us from sinning and prosper our ways, and is the beginning of wisdom and grace. And so God blesses His people. Now, can I put it kindly and faithfully to you, especially to you, dear young people? Is He giving you wisdom? Is He giving you His holy fear? Do you find within your heart an exercise of needing to pray to God that He will keep you from sinning? Does it grieve you when you sin? I mean, you feel in your natural person lust and pleasure of sinning. That's what's in the old nature. But if God's given you a new heart, and there's such a blessing, He gives a new heart. When His people are born again, they're given a new heart. And there's a new and living principle in each one that's born again. And that the Lord's working and granting His graces, and the precious grace of filial fear He gives. You'll feel a grief over your sins. And you, because you begin to love the Lord, you will not want to sin against Him, to grieve Him. You won't want to keep feeling that grief within you for grieving Him. And so you see, you're being blessed. The Lord is going on to bless you. He is. And I believe at such a time as this, it may be at this particular time, the first wellings up of thankfulness to God. As He gives you grace, the graces you need, in some measure, maybe a small measure, in the early days. But as He gives you these graces, you begin to be thankful to Him. It wells up within you the beginning of blessing the Lord. He blesses you, and you bless the Lord. You are thankful to Him that you're not where you once were now. Something has happened. It may be seemingly very strange, but the Lord has been working, and there's a change wrought, and you're not where you once were now. He begins to favour you. You receive these blessings, you understand them, this wisdom He gives you, gives you to be able to know you're not where you once were. You're not now dead in trespasses and sins. You're made alive unto God. Oh, bless Him. Bless Him. And from this and through this and by this experience, God's people begin to bless God. They begin to praise God. But oh, of course, you will want more. You need to be led on. You need the Lord to go on to work. And it's sweet and wonderful. He will for thee work and in thee too, and guide thee right, and bring thee through right through thy life unto thy journey's end and crown thy journey's end, if He's begun in you like this. That hymn we've just sung, friends, took me back to a time of blessing. I had a time of blessing when I was young. Thinking of you young people here now, I think of how I was in the under the favour of God, being dealt with by God like we've been trying to trace out to you. And you know, one particular day I felt so troubled, because I'd seemed to have lost the presence of my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ. And venturing up to chapel that night, I was actually, though I didn't know the hymn was going to be given out, I was actually in that state, as the hymn writer puts it, pining for Christ. We've sometimes seen an animal that's lost a partner, as it were, or if there's an animal has little ones, and then some of them die, and you know there's that evidence of the sorrow, even in an animal, that there's a loss felt. But oh, how small, but it is a precious figure, you know, as we may be led to consider how you will miss the presence of your friend and mourn like one whose comfort's gone. Some of you older ones may be in it today, but you see the blessedness of that theme. What a question it is. May you, dear young ones, think of it as I was so blessed to fate and favoured to know it at that time all those years ago. It was a prayer meeting. And the deacons at Stockfold, there was originally in my early days three, and they used to give out an hymn and pray. Mr. Hare, the late Mr. Hare, that is grandfather to Philip Hare, who preaches now, you know, he was very tender that night, and he gave out that hymn. And it really found me. I was pining for Christ. I lost his presence. I wanted that favour to be felt again of his presence with me. I knew in a measure his love to me. And my love to him had got cold and faint. I was troubled over it. And it seemed there I was going to chapel and feeling a kind of dread, and I was so far off from my Lord. I wanted him to return, and that hymn was given out, "And does thy heart for Jesus pine?" I shall never forget it, friends. It's a blessed favour of God's blessing me, favouring me, that's so bound up in my experience that I can never forget. Oh, the Lord came. Oh, we felt that love of Christ flow into our hearts, that he's still the same. He loves beyond degree. Our Lord does. Oh, may some feel it today in such a way as that. Oh, blessing and honour. God blesses his people. It goes on to bless. But I believe what God will bless his people with, if he, as he goes on, he works and he gives them tokens of his love. You may pray like the hymn writer puts it, "Show me some token, Lord, for good. Some token of thy special love. Show me that I am born of God and that my treasure is above." You make your supplication, the hymn writer. "My supplication, Lord, is this, that all my sins may be subdued, that all thy precious promises may be to me and for my good." This is how you see you're made to be a needy character. Oh, you need Christ. Well, given to plead with God, "Give me Christ or else I die." You know it. You're taught it. And he is most precious. He is that one more precious than fine gold, even the golden wedge of Ophir. Now he is. And so you seek him. He reveals himself. He shows his face. He speaks in love at times. You're beginning to experience the wonderful blessing of the Lord, that maketh rich. But you have, as God teaches you, you have those signal, vital, important favours that you know you need to know and experience, and you seek them. Oh, a soul is so greatly blessed. God is blessing them when he brings such into earnestness for God's great favours of his love. You want the pardon of your sins. You want God to tell you by his own mouth he's chosen you. You want him to bless you with pardon. You want him to, you need him to seal your soul with his holy blood, that you are redeemed. In the hymn we've sung also, the beginning hymn, there was that mentioning of redemption. Redemption. We have it, of course, in the context of what we've read. But you know, that was the note we concluded with, especially last evening. Redemption. Oh, we are saved. We are redeemed. God has brought us back. Redeemed with Jesus' blood, redeemed. His beauties go to trace. No angel can be more esteemed than sinners, saved by grace. This is how God blesses, favours them to know they need redemption. Paul the Apostle, or was it Peter, I think, both of those apostles were well taught of it, and we read those words, in whom we have redemption, that's Paul to the Ephesians, I think, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Oh, we need to know it. We need the seal of the Spirit to know. We have redemption through his blood. We need this, friends. You will be seeking it. God will so bless you to be such a seeker, to seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he's near. You will need these favours. You will seek these blessings. And as God in his sovereign purpose favours you with those blessings. Oh, the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich in the several ways and parts and blessed experiencing of them. The Lord will cause you to praise God, to bless God. Oh God, God blesses us so that we praise God. Now I felt in prayer, and I felt it other times when I've been with you, God knows. You know, we, the ministers, don't know very much about each individual character. We don't. God keeps us from that. It's not his will to so give us to know many things. But you know, God, by his Spirit, gives his servants their persuasion when souls are blessed. And I do know, I feel it, friends, some of you here who have not yet testified openly of it, you have been wonderfully blessed. The Lord knows about it. He knows what he's done. He knows how he's favoured you. But before we close this morning, we come to the two words again, blessing and honour. You know, ultimately in glory this must fully be so, as we have in the context, as we have read. The praises, the high praises of God to be sung forever and ever in glory, they will be in the completeness of the words as we read in this verse, saying amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honour and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Notice the theme. It begins with amen. It concludes with amen. And the word amen is such a wonderful word that really never changes. It is used in the various languages and is the same in the various languages that we use throughout the Word of God, the different languages. this word amen doesn't change it. It means this is the will of God and the people of God to say amen in their perfect favour of God's perfect favour to them. He blesses them, makes them know that God must have the glory. And so the amen, so let it be, so let it ever be. Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honour and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And you know, God says, so let it be. God gives these words of praise to his people. So let it be. You know, God's looking for it. God must receive it. He must receive honour and glory from his people. He blesses them. He does all the favour, love and mercy, grants it to be known and blesses them, favours them. He blesses, he favours here on earth in time for the purpose of his people, praising him in heaven forever and ever. But remember what we said, it must begin on earth. We are called for this. God's purpose is for this. Oh, blessing. Blessing and honour. That which shall well up and ascend from earth to heaven from God's people. Their hearts set on fire with his love. Their souls set free. They're blessed with forgiveness, pardon and peace. They experience through the blood of the Lamb applied to them, sealed to them by the Holy Spirit. They believe by faith. They have Christ's divine atonement on them. So they are blessed. And they bless and praise God then. They begin on earth to bless and praise their God. The love of Christ fell. Causes God's people to make returns of love again to God. Oh, we love him because he first loved us. Oh, how John knew him. We know John was a special character, but he was a sinner. You know, it's manifest in the disciples, especially those beloved disciples. Oh, when there was those things of questioning of what had happened and how the world and those with very strange religions came before the Lord, and at one time John questions the Lord and he says, shall we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? I believe that was from his own spirit. It wasn't the will of God. The Lord rebuked them. Another time it was that, you know, that it shows that they were sinners, sinners of like passions of us, though they were greatly favoured. Oh, there was that time when they said, the question, asked the Lord, a question which was very unwise. They said, oh, their request that we might sit on the right hand or on the left, of thee on thy throne in thy kingdom. And the Lord said, it's not mine to give, but my Father's only. And the other disciples were grieved and felt angry toward them. And so you see, they were men of like passions with us, sinners. But oh, under the great favours of God's grace, especially the disciples as they walked and talked with the Lord Jesus, they were so blessed, so favoured. And it comes out so much in the epistles as we read how they gave honour to God, how they lived to God's praise, how they praised him day by day. Even when they were in very hard places and experiences, think of how they were those that were shut up in the prison, how they sang praises in the prison. And oh, how in God's purpose that was used, even for the conversion of the Philippian jailer. You know, they they were blessed. They were blessed with grace. God blessed them. And they blessed God. They praised God. Blessing and honour. How it begins on earth. In all God's people. God's grace so gives the enabling. His people worship him. Oh, friends. Me bringing these things before you, poor as I am, I hope it is in God's purpose to so affect you, and as I need it too, that we may be questioning and considering how we stand regarding praise, regarding worship. You know, there's so much questioning in our exercises as how we stand before God and how much we need to know an interest in God's great salvation. But when he does give to his people the blessed hope, when he reveals himself, when he favours them, oh friends, do we give as much concern and consideration to blessing and honour toward our God as we do the asking, the begging, for his blessing of us? You think of that question. Your earnestness, your exercise, your need to God to bless you. This is very important, so great in importance for you each personally. But how important is it to you to be concerned to render praise, to bless God, to praise him for all the wonders of his grace? Some of you that have known and tasted redeeming love, and yet you do know changes, and you are concerned about your not being able to keep yourself, and so on. And all this concern is much within you from time to time, and especially when you perhaps have a season of indifference and carelessness, and then God stirs you up to make you deeply concerned again. How important it is to know the Lord loves you, that he has blessed you, and you want him to bless you again. But oh friends, do you ever think of a lack of blessing and praising our God, our shortcoming in worship and praise? And now we are not willing to deny ourselves and take up our cross. It's when the dictates of the old nature so take over and we are left to ourselves. Oh, we are not willing. But God says, my people shall be willing in the day of my power. Now, are we concerned about it? So, friends, I hope as you may meditate until we gather again, we hope this evening, blessing and honour. Oh, friends, this verse is so important for us to consider and see how we stand regarding it. How, in the context of these verses, and coming to this verse, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honour and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day for the Free Grace Evangelistic Association amounted to £910, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Gilbert Hyde will preach on Tuesday evening, and Dr. Sadler will preach next Lord's Day and address the Sunday School in the afternoon. Let us close with hymn 339. Oh, my distrustful heart, how small thy faith appears. but greater, Lord, thou art than all my doubts and fears. Did Jesus once upon me shine, then Jesus is forever mine. Hymn 339.
Thank you.
Dear Lord, do forgive anything they have seen amiss. Own and bless thy word, Lord. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us. Amen.